Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Of the many considerations when building a tunnel, there are two that seem kind of essential. Keep air in and keep water out. Well, it's that second part that's continually vexing state transportation officials when it comes to the big dig.
Internal Transportation Department reports cited in the Boston Globe have found that water leaks in the Big Dig tunnels are causing long-term safety problems, millions of dollars in damage, and they may have even begun to damage the steel girders that support the Tip O'Neill Tunnel.
But why are there so many leaks in a tunnel designed for a location that's surrounded by water? Well, joining us now is William Ibbs. He's a professor of civil engineering at the University of California at Berkeley and the head of Ibbs Consulting in Oakland, California. He's also been a consultant for both Bechtel, Parsons, Brinckerhoff and the Massachusetts Highway Department during the Big Dig construction. Professor Ibbs, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's actually a real pleasure. I wonder if we could sort of treat this segment as everyone putting on their hard hats and getting a lesson in terms of what it really takes, what are the design considerations when building a tunnel like the Tip O'Neill Tunnel, like the Big Dig in Boston. I mean, the very first thing to note, I guess, is what it's surrounded by, and that is Boston Harbor and water. So when you're thinking about how to dig in an area that's surrounded by so much water, what are your first considerations?
Well, that's a big question, Meghna, but you certainly have to consider the water that you're near and what's called the water table, which is the elevation of the water in the soil through which you're going. You also have to consider the soil type. You have to consider the cost, both the cost of building the tunnel and then the long-term cost of maintaining the tunnel. And a variety of other factors.
Okay, so let's. I'm going to pause. I'm going to have you pause right there, and let's sort of like dive into each one of these a little bit. So,
right. The
water and the level of the water in the soil where you're building. I mean, the Big Dig goes right up, you know, from the north end right through that part of Boston that's almost right at Boston Harbor. So it would seem as if it's basically at the waterline. So the groundwater level is virtually at the surface of Boston there.
That's correct. The water table would be very high, to put it in engineering terms, and that means you have to consider the fact that you're probably going to have water problems over the whole lifetime of the tunnel.
So water then would be continuously trying to seep through the tunnel walls.
That's right. The pressures, you'd have to consider the not only the volume of water, but the pressures as well as the salinity of the water.
Okay, so on that salinity front, obviously, it'd be fairly high salinity since we're talking about the harbor water. Is that right?
That's right. It certainly would.
And then the pressure, my understanding from taking engineering classes what feels like 1,000 years ago, is that obviously the deeper you go, the higher the pressure. But the Big Dig actually isn't that deep. It's not that far below ground. So are we talking huge amounts of water pressure here?
You could be. You have to consider how many sides the tunnel is surrounded by water. And as you well know, Boston is basically a peninsula. So virtually everywhere you turn, you're going to have water to contend with.
Okay. So what we've read over the weekend in the Boston Globe, Transportation Department officials are saying, look, these were all things that were taken into consideration. Also, leaks are just part of tunnel systems regardless. No one's saying that it's not safe, okay? Let's make that clear. But on the other hand, I guess what we're wondering and why we invited you on the show today is why is it that the leaks seem to be so pervasive in the Big Dig? I mean, we have evidence of corrosion in the ceiling of the Tip O'Neill Tunnel pretty much through, you know, much of its 7.5-mile long length. Why is that happening when engineers, I presume, would have looked at the situation that you did, that you just described, and said, we know we're going to have to deal with water, so let's design for it?
Well, in the interest of being totally fair, I have to say I've not looked at the details of this particular situation with a lot of scrutiny, But as a general rule, engineers do take water pressures, water exposure, water salinity, and the surge. You also have to look at the cyclicality, if you will, of the water table and the pressures that are involved. Engineers do tend to take those types of factors and others into other factors into consideration.
Well, you know, Professor Ibbs, there are, you know, in our staff meeting this morning, we were talking about how there are obviously many, many, many tunnels out there in the world. And many of them are actually not just near water, but underwater. I mean, the one huge example that we thought of today was the Channel Tunnel, of course, between the United Kingdom and France. For those kinds of tunnels that are absolutely surrounded by nothing but water, are leaks as much of a problem?
They are, and that's why maintenance and being prepared to spend a lot of money over time for maintaining your tunnel is very important.
So are you
also have, even closer to Boston, I was thinking about this today, you've got tunnels in New York City. You've got the Holland Tunnel and the East River Tunnel, both of which are more than 100, well, one of which is more than 100 years old.
And so, I guess is what you're saying that that leaks are always going to be part of the equation here, and therefore we should have budgeted at the start for 50 to 100 years of leak maintenance in the Big Dig?
Absolutely, and it's you do that in several ways. One is that you design pumping systems and filtering systems and channeling systems. Up front, when you're designing and building the tunnel, you build those type of, if you will, secondary systems into the tunnel. And then the second factor is you need to periodically inspect and repair the tunnel as it ages.
Okay, so last question for you, Professor Ibbs, and thank you for helping us don our hard hats here today. Can such secondary systems be installed after the fact? I mean, because right now the big debate here is that, you know, we're looking at tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars of long-term maintenance in the tunnels to keep that water out. Is there a way to do it in a cost-effective manner, or are these pumps that you're talking about just going to cost that much?
Well, as I think that famous engineer Benjamin Franklin said, a penny spent today is better than a pound tomorrow, or words to that effect. Yes, these types of protection systems can be implemented or strengthened today, but it's going to be more costly than if it had been done earlier.
Professor William Ibbs, Professor of Civil Engineering at the University of California at Berkeley and head of Ibbs Consulting in Oakland, California, thank you so much.
Thank you.